I'm live, you're live.
We are live. Welcome back to the Retired Podcast. Tonight, we are answering some questions from listeners.
Yeah, from Instagram.
Cool. So we put out an Instagram story asking for questions for this episode, and we are going to answer some of the questions. I think we got a pretty good bunch, so I guess these would kind of fall under like frequently asked questions for baseball and softball players.
We could title this episode "Ask Us Anything," episode 21.
I was thinking facts, like FAQs, baseball and softball.
That's a good one.
Just let the editor kind of make those decisions. Okay. You just keep looking.
I'm just a talent.
Yeah, you're the talent.
Just
keep being smart and looking pretty.
Aww, that's so nice.
I'd like you to edit one of the podcasts.
No.
See how that turns out? No?
No, I like my sleep.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into it. So thank you to everyone who submitted a few questions, because we're kind of running out of topics, to be honest.
I literally have an Excel spreadsheet
yeah.
of like 50 more topics. They're a little bit repetitive. I mean,
They all kind of melt into each other because but this is good. We have some very good, clear, direct questions to answer. And so we'll give you our best. Do we have who they're from?
No.
Okay.
I didn't write that down.
I do have one additional that I don't think is on there that I'm going to give a shout out, but we'll get there.
Okay.
All right.
First question. As a student athlete, how do you balance school, sports, and social life?
It's a juggle, that's for sure. It's a lot. I feel like that's a tough one because, like, you can't really call it balance because I feel like you sacrifice social life a little bit.
I was going to say you can pick two.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I would say. It's like you can pick two. If you try to do all three, it can be done, but good luck.
Yeah.
But typically as a student athlete, social life is the first one to go. And it doesn't mean like you just sit in your room like a hermit crab all day, but like you're really not looking to go to extra social events.
No.
I mean, there's just no time and you need more.
I'll tell you, in for girls at least, kind of how this ends up playing out. It really just depends on what your goals are. So when I was younger, I'm talking like 8th grade, freshman, sophomore year, I had very little social life. I mean, I did like school functions, a little bit of school sports, like I was a cheerleader.
Yeah.
But my parents always told me you can pick two without the rest of them suffering.
Yeah.
And you really can't do all of them halfway if you want to reach your goals. So I picked school and I picked sports. And right around my junior year, I started to get a little bit more into my social life. And both softball and school suffered. Like, I still made straight A's, but I wasn't making the same, like, I wasn't invested. Suffering. And when I got to college, it carried over. And so I was in geophysics, which is a pretty hard major. I was in all the engineering classes at A&M, and A&M is a well-known engineering school. And I just remember thinking in one of my physics classes, because I took AP physics in high school, I was like, had I just like really bought in to my school, my junior and senior years at Aledo, I would have understood these topics so much more. So it is true. Really, you have to pick two. If you want to excel in two things, you have to pick two.
I picked one. I picked sports. No, I was kind of the same. Like my sophomore, junior year, I was really trying to do the social life thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll just say it as it is. I started partying a little bit.
Nice. And,
I wouldn't say I ever saw the school like suffer because I was in all level classes. I never fully applied myself in school the way I should have because I was like, I'm playing baseball. That is what it is.
That's I'm going to so take funny.
All level classes, make straight A's, have a good enough GPA, do well enough on my ACT, SAT. I'm playing baseball in college. And so, like, for me, I guess school wouldn't have been on that list of three for me, which is dumb, and it should have been, because now, like, I went into college and was shocked at just the difficulty of it.
Really?
I just wasn't used to it. Even, like, freshman year basics, I was like, this is not very basic.
Like, what was your hardest class?
You know, shocker. Music appreciation my freshman year.
Oh my goodness.
I'm serious. Music appreciation my freshman year. I wouldn't say it was my hardest class.
This is pre-ChatGPT.
Yes.
It shocked me. Gen Zers?
I don't know. But it shocked me. I was not prepared for that class to be as hard as it was. But, like, that was just college for me, to where, like, everything...
That stuff.
Because I took all level in high school, so everything to me was harder than anything I'd ever done before. So, yeah, for me, like, I just never applied myself in school the way I could. I made straight A's, but I took all level. So when I said I didn't apply myself, I didn't push myself. I took the very basics and, like, dominated it, as I should have.
Yeah.
Because, like, basic level classes in high school are literally so easy.
You really just have to, like, put your name on your assignments. And.
But when I got into college and took business calculus, I was like, whoa, what I'm...
That was my easiest class.
No idea what's going on.
Business
exactly.
Calculus.
Like, yeah, so. But, yeah, no, I think pick two, and it depends.
Yeah, so how to balance? You can't.
You can't.
Pick two,
and...
Be okay with it.
Pick
school
and baseball.
Yeah. I mean, but, like...
School and sports.
Hopefully, I mean, if people that are listening to this probably either are parents of players who want to go far.
Yeah.
Or players who want to go far. So, yes, pick school and your sport.
Yeah.
The social life, you'll have plenty of time
for
social
stuff. You'll get social stuff in your sport. But, like,
sure.
I understand the missing out on the parties and the gatherings and all those things. And, like,
the gatherings.
Gatherings, parties, right? Yeah, I mean, it is fleeting, I'll say that. In the moment, you're like, oh my god, I'm missing out on
major FOMO.
On the high school experience or the college experience. And it's like, if your goals are to play this game at a high level, trust me, you're not missing out. There
exactly.
is plenty of time in your life.
Also, nothing good really ever came
good
from
came
those
from
things anyways.
Yeah, well,
so.
Okay, great, you went to a party and then you have weights the next morning and you're like feeling like garbage.
Yeah,
so,
doesn't make sense.
Yeah, pick two or else something suffers.
Or else. All right, next question. What is your biggest regret about college sports?
Whew.
I'll go first.
Sure.
I already have one.
Okay.
I would say, and this is not a knock on you, this might surprise you. So Noah and I met my sophomore year, summer going into sophomore year. And we were long distance. And I feel like a lot of the time I wasn't completely bought in teammate wise. So, like, I would come home from practice. We'd usually go eat dinner at the, like, cafeteria for athletes. And so I'd get home at, like, I don't know, 8 or 9. And instead of, like, hanging out with my teammates or, like, being involved with my teammates more, I was on the phone with you most of the time.
Yeah.
Which helped us in our relationship, and obviously.
Yeah.
I'm very thankful for that. But I think if I could go back, I would just be more involved with, like, the school of Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be more involved with, like, the lives of my teammates. Like, I was involved with my roommates because we all lived together.
Right.
But I would say, I don't know, I would be more immersed where my feet were instead of, like, constantly wanting to be with you, even though I wanted to be with you all the time.
I actually completely agree with that. That's not my answer, but I agree with that. But mine was kind of tough because it was like, not all of my teammates, but being involved with most of my teammates
mm-hmm.
takes us back to question number one, where it required
good point.
Social life that was probably not social life that was progressing me towards my goals. And so
okay. It
was like, I could have been more immersed in my teammates, but it would have distracted me or slowed my growth. For the things that I wanted to accomplish, especially in sports.
Okay, good point.
So, mine is actually kind of like you said, like, be where your feet are. I wish I would not have been in such a hurry to get out of there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that around the time junior year came around and after my sophomore year, I started creating a little bit of noise for myself to get drafted and go play pro. I wanted to go experience pro ball so badly. That was my lifelong dream, was to play professional baseball. And it was just, like, right at the tip of my fingers. And I just wanted to get out of there as fast as I could. And honestly, like, my junior year, we were pretty awful. So that, I think, added to it. My sophomore year, we were pretty good. But, like, my junior year was, like, we had a below 500 record. I had a pretty solid season. But, like, I was just like, let's go. Pro ball. I want it so badly. And now, knowing what I know... and maybe this is because I struggled in minor league baseball, but even when I had good seasons in pro baseball, college baseball is the most fun baseball you will ever play in your life. It's the closest you'll ever feel to your teammates. It's the most camaraderie you'll have on a team. And I just wish I didn't take that for granted. I was in such a hurry to me. And yeah. I just feel like I missed, even like, especially my junior year, like I just missed
the joy of the game.
The joy and the memories that could have lasted me because I was just focused on getting out of there. So that's what I would say. That's my biggest regret. It's just not being where my feet are, soaking it all in. Like, it's obviously you look towards the future and you're excited for it, especially if you've put yourself in a position to go accomplish a dream, like getting drafted and playing pro, but like, just take in every second with every person and make the most of it, because pro ball sucks.
It's just different.
It's different. It's vastly different. Yeah. Nobody's there to be your friend in pro baseball. Everybody's just like climbing on each other to get to the top, which is what it is. That's what it should be.
Most jobs are anyways.
Yeah.
Everyone wants the promotion.
And it's the same in college, but there's just a brotherhood about it. There's a shared goal. Yeah. Everyone's pulling for each other, even if the guy in front of you, like, you want his spot. Like, you're not pulling for him to suck because you want a spot that bad. Maybe some people are. But some, like, you truly are invested in winning because of the end goal. And in pro ball, like in the minors especially, it's like nobody cares about winning. It's like, I need my stats to look good so I can move up. That's all that matters. So, yeah, I wish I would have enjoyed college a little bit more. Not been in a hurry to get out of there. Be where your feet are.
Next question. How have sports helped you in post-sport life?
God. I'll go first on this one. This one feels easy. Especially our sport, baseball and softball. I mean, just failure, hardships, like, it always sounds dramatic when we talk about it on here, because we obviously have not faced much hardship in our life.
True.
For the game or the sport that we've played to, like, prepared us for some of the hardest things in life. But, like, baseball and softball, truly, baseball for me has prepared me for some of the harder things in life, I feel like. But to that point, I can't say.
I've gone through some difficulty.
Yeah. But, like, it's not like I faced anything just, like, completely life-changing. But just the everyday, like, I mean, everybody says it. Like, this sport prepares you for the real world because it is packed with failure all the time. It doesn't care how you feel. The game does not care how you feel. It only cares how much work you put in. And
it's not fair.
It's unfair. And I just feel like in life right now, like with kids, they don't care how you feel. Stuff to get done, you know? People to entertain. I had a headache all day. And, you know, the kids didn't care. They want to play.
Yeah.
You better show up. And
yeah,
I feel like sports have prepared us for that. And, like, beyond just the game, like, oh, you feel tired and don't want to go to morning weights. Guess what? You're going to morning weights, you know? And so even just the lifestyle of a student athlete or a professional athlete has prepared us for, I feel like we could handle a lot, you know? So I feel like it mentally toughened us to handle just, like, things that I feel like most people would be overwhelmed by. Yeah. Not to say we don't get overwhelmed.
Literally daily.
I was overstimulated many times today. But I feel like I can handle it better because of the training and the way that baseball and softball are just so packed with failure and hardship. So, what about you?
I would say this, since this is for all the ladies out there. I would say the physicality of playing sports has helped me as a mom. Yeah, like, there's something about being underneath a squat rack with an unmanageable amount of weight on it for you personally.
But you get it up.
With your strength coach, you know, chest to back, yelling in your ear to get it up.
Yeah.
Like, there's something about that it didn't make labor feel easy, because labor is not easy. But it definitely taught me that I could get through it.
Yeah.
And even with our first, like, I had two pretty traumatic birth experiences with our first, and I can go into all the details later at some point, but with our first, I was in labor for almost 3 days.
72 hours.
Just forever. The contractions every 5 minutes or so. My water had already broken, so they were like insanely literally painful.
She was grinding for 72 hours.
They wouldn't let me eat. I was actually starving. I had like one meal because they didn't want me to, just in case I had to go into surgery. You're not supposed to eat before surgery. So it was just a nightmare.
Talk about, like, real quick, sorry to interrupt you, but like feeling like the most worthless piece of crap in the world. Watch your wife go through labor for 72 hours while you just sit there and you're like, can I get you anything? While you're literally just battling.
Yeah, it was horrible.
It's like, I'll never see myself as tough ever again after watching you do that. That's incredible.
And then with our second, I had an emergency C-section.
Yeah.
And C-sections, let me tell you. Talk about weirdest experience you've ever had. And then, like, literally just cut me open completely and delivered a child.
Yeah.
And then literally like 4 or 5 hours after they stitch you up, they make you stand up.
And walk.
And walk. And I'm like, yeah. I literally can't breathe right now because my stitches are so tight. Anyways.
Can I just give a little bit on the C-section thing before you get too far? So I'm sitting up at the head with you, like just petting you, you know, whatever. Yes. The way that your body was being jerked is they're ripping the baby out. Yes. Like they're yanking.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, is she not feeling any of this right now? Because, like, no. It literally looked like somebody was just taking your legs, like a chiropractor was just yanking on your legs. Like, yeah. Your whole body was jolting.
I could feel that, but you can't feel, like, the sensations of, like, cutting or, you know, whatever.
I don't think people understand the depth, literally and metaphorically, of a C-section. We're talking organs taken out.
Sometimes. Moved. Shuffled.
Moved. Like, it's deep.
Maneuvered.
There's layers to this.
There's layers.
That's nuts.
So, I mean, in a very small way, sports helped me with that, but yeah. Kind of like you're saying, it's like, sometimes there's no other option to go around an obstacle. You just have to go through it. And when you're in labor, there's nothing, you have to go through it. Like, there's no other way this baby's going to come out of you.
When the doctor came in.
You legit just have to do it.
When the doctor came in and said, hey, baby's breech and your sac is already ruptured.
Yeah.
We have to go C-section now. And it's like literally 10 minutes. You don't have another option. And you just got to be like, all right, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's many things in sports and then like sports training and just sports lifestyle, student athlete lifestyle, where it's like, there is no easy way out.
No.
It's get it done and die trying, but like, you're going to do it.
You're going to do it.
And yeah, I think that prepares you big time mentally.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
All right. On to a more lighthearted question.
Yeah. No more C-sections.
Talk about organs on the table.
Yeah, here. Sorry. I just want the listeners to know, especially like the boys.
Yeah.
And the men.
There's a lot of things that boys don't know about.
You're just not
women
as tough.
In that way.
We're not as tough as we think we are. You know, like we have our ways of being tough, but like, I've seen this woman go through some things that like you wouldn't even fathom.
It's our battlefield, right?
Women are tough.
Thanks.
Warrior.
Next question. Who is more competitive?
You are. Well, it's tough. I think you're more outwardly expressive about your competitiveness.
Mm-hmm.
You have a harder time hiding it.
Otherwise known as rage issues.
Anger problems. I don't know. I'd say we're both... I don't know. I think you have the edge a little bit because I just have experience with you sometimes, and it's competitive with yourself. I can think back to that core memory in college where, like, you, and I've already talked about this on a recent episode, but, like, you made me stay and feed you balls for an hour longer until you had the perfect result. And I think that that's just a different level that I probably would have been, like, I would have got pissed and just be like, I'll figure it out tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because I've always had more of, like, a... That, and that, to me, is not giving up. It's me saying, like, okay...
It's being realistic.
I'm not... I'm just getting frustrated now.
Yeah.
And I'm probably creating bad habits. I'm going to remove myself from this. Clear the head, come back, do it again. So it wasn't giving up, but like you were like, I'm figuring this out right now one way or another. I will stay here for 10 more hours or 10,000 more balls.
Mm-hmm.
I'm figuring it out. So I just feel like
I think there's probably a fine line there between competitive and psycho.
Yeah.
And I think I cross that line quite often.
I think you... tinkered with it.
Yeah.
But that's why I would say that you're more competitive because I think that's what it takes to be like that's champion mentality. That's elite level mentality of like borderline psycho.
I
think that most people who are extremely successful like that are all a little bit crazy.
Maybe.
So Yeah, I would say you have the edge when it comes to being competitive. I'm a little bit more mentally healthy when it comes to that,
you
that
are.
Stuff.
You're more mentally stable.
I'm a little, yeah, that's more of what I'm trying to say. A little more mentally stable.
You're very level-headed.
I think.
I've only seen you lose it like once or twice.
I don't even know. Well, yeah, I've had a few broken helmets in the dugout, but like...
Yeah, I've never done that. I've never thrown a piece of equipment or like punched something.
You screamed into some pillows.
Oh, yeah, who doesn't?
But yeah, no, I think you're probably a little bit more competitive for sure.
Okay.
But I do not like losing. I'm a little more.
I think I'm the type of competitive where I hate losing more than I love winning.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I'm more psycho.
Yeah.
So that's my story. Okay, next question. If you could have played any other professional sport, don't be too obvious here, what would it have been and why?
Basketball. No, I'm just kidding. Golf, for sure.
Jolf.
And that's honestly only my answer in the last, like, 3 years.
I know. You become obsessed with golf. Before this, if you were unaware, Noah was actually... multifaceted in his endeavors. His first endeavor after we got married was to be a DJ / music producer.
Yeah.
Shout out Supernova, still
was,
on SoundCloud.
Yeah. I mean, that was probably a hobby. I don't know if I wanted to, like...
You stayed up late.
Yeah, but you know me. Like, I need a creative outlet.
That's true.
So I don't think, like, that was me saying, okay, I'm going to go be a DJ and tour the entire world.
You thought about it. Don't even lie.
I mean, if a hobby turned into something successful like that, like, yeah, but...
So no, first it was that, and then what was it after that?
I mean, when I was
Lucky's.
Done... That was just a way to make extra money.
Lucky's
casino
parties?
No, bodybuilding.
Bodybuilding.
I know you say that. Again,
yeah.
That was not me. I was never going to step on a stage. I was just retired from baseball, and I was like, I can finally just lift like a stupid idiot in the gym, like meathead. And I just got into it, and I had so much time that I would go work out for like 2 hours a day. And
you did have so much time.
I got a little obsessed with it.
You did get
obsessed.
A little obsessed
looking at myself in the mirror.
Yep.
And now I'm back to being a little skinny twig.
How much do you weigh?
I think I'm still just hovering 180.
That's brutal.
But I saw 179 a couple times in the past few months, and I was like, whoa, I haven't weighed that much since probably my sophomore year of high school. Crazy. I was 215 at my peak weight junior year of college. 215.
It's a lot for
you. So
like your body, like, you just don't have the bone structure for it.
Yeah,
you know,
I just got a little skinny boy jeans.
Kinda.
Yeah, it kinda sucks.
Which, like, is good for, like, normal life.
It'll be good down the road, but, like,
good
just,
for our girls.
Like, when I see pictures of my arms, kids. I'm like, are my arms really that small?
I think your arms are smaller than mine.
My arms are tiny. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I have a good brachialis. But other than that, I just, like, I have a... I don't know. Just skinny. Big elbows. Big boned. Yeah.
Mine would be golf, too, I think. I played golf growing up. Like, as I got older, I didn't really play other sports because I just kept getting hurt in other sports. Like basketball and volleyball. So I played golf. My parents lived in a golf community, so we just went to the driving range most mornings.
Yeah.
I was okay at it. I wasn't really, like, I didn't have any finesse around the green. Like,
you,
I was okay with my wedges.
She
but I couldn't drive the heck out of the ball.
Yeah, you hammer the ball. When we play and you play from the red tees, you drive either on most greens or, like, 20 yards off the green.
Yeah, well, I feel like I'm also a lot stronger than the average,
like,
female, though.
If you truly worked on your game, you would probably be a scratch golfer in no time. And it's the short
Maybe.
Game, the chipping and putting for sure. But
yeah.
The reason mine's golf is because, one, I feel like when you retire from baseball, that's just like every retired baseball player's thing is like golf. Cause
every retired person's
thing.
Yeah,
it's a sport you play your whole life. And it's also extremely competitive with yourself. Like, I can't explain... the want to go out and just, like, shave strokes or find a feel or, like, strike the ball well. Like, there's so many little nuances throughout the game of golf that will drive you crazy, but it's, like, a nonstop, search for perfection that I know will never happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why it's so intriguing to me. But really, the reason why that's what I would have played is because, like, and I know it's ultra competitive, but, and this is not easy to do. I definitely don't want anyone thinking that what I'm about to say is an easy thing to do. But if you just make the cut in a PGA Tour event, I was looking at it because I'm always curious, like, just making the cut, you're walking away with, like, 15 grand.
Yeah.
In a smaller event. Like, Colonial, I checked last year, Colonial's payout for, like, the guy who came in last but made the cut, so not really last, but last on the weekend,
mm-hmm.
made, like, 20 Gs. I was like...
It's a great week.
That's not bad for 70th place, but... Yeah. There's also a lot of guys like paying for all their own travel, a lot of those guys are paying for all their stuff.
Good point.
I was lucky enough to talk with Hayden Springer a little bit about just like the lifestyle. And it honestly sounds like for guys that are not on the tour and they're playing all these mini tours and Corn Ferry and all that, a lot like a minor league baseball player.
Yeah.
You know, you're not making much unless you win an event. And even then, like on the smaller tours, it's not life-changing money.
Mm-hmm.
And you're spending a lot. It's a lot of travel. You have to get sponsors, and it's pretty crazy. So, like, just like any sport, it's not glorious. You know, what we all see, like, even me seeing a guy come in 70th and make the cut and make 20 Gs, it seems glorious, but, like, for him to get to that position and come in 70th and
tour event,
took so much time and work.
That's
so,
true.
One more thing on that. What other sport
He's
I would play?
He's obsessed with golf, goodness.
Realistically, besides golf. Like, a true sport that I was actually doing growing up would be motocross. I used to race motocross.
Aren't you too tall? Like, isn't there, like, height?
No.
Like, in gymnastics, most women who play gymnastics, gymnastics
that's like,
are shorter.
Like horse riding. Mm-hmm. Horse racing.
Jockeying.
Being a jockey. No, yeah, I used to race motocross. And, like, that was actually, when I was 12, I had a pick between baseball and motocross. And I think that motocross was one I loved more.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I had to make a realistic decision.
Could also kind of murder you.
Right. I was like, what am I probably going to not die doing? And my parents had invested quite a bit on my baseball stuff. So I chose baseball. But, like, I loved racing. That was fun for me. Next question.
All right. Last question for this episode. How did you know it was time to retire?
Whew. I mean, it sounds so simple, but the love wasn't there. I remember the exact moment. I was playing in Cleburne. And what's crazy is, like, this was probably my most fun year of pro baseball for me, was with the Cleburne Railroaders in Indy Ball. And we got to Sioux Falls. And shout out to the Sioux Falls Canaries. And I don't know. I just walked into that locker room and... I can't explain. Just think of, like, just a brick building with, I don't know, think of, like, a nasty middle school locker room.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, 500 square feet and just gross in the middle of nowhere, Indiana. I think that's where Sioux Falls is. No, North Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I just had a moment where I was like, what am I doing? Like, and it's not about that situation. Like, Sioux Falls and being in that locker room and all that, had that been 2 years prior, like, mm-hmm. I would have thought nothing of it. I would have been like, sweet, this is the grind. Let's get it and play in pro baseball. Didn't care. But at that point in my life, like, we were ready to start a family. I was seeing you every other week,
mm-hmm.
Which was a lot considering our distance before that. But, like, still, I was ready to be with you.
We were married,
We were married, like.
We weren't just dating anymore.
And I was still making, you know, just garbage money.
Yeah.
And honestly, that kind of played a big role in it. I was like, all right, like, at some point I need to start financially preparing for my life and our life together and to start a family and all that. And I just, the cons started to outweigh the pros. But beyond that, I had that feel of, like, I don't love this anymore. To where, like, I used to be, when I loved the game, blinded by the pros and cons. There were always a lot more cons to pro baseball than pros,
mm-hmm.
as far as, like, financial and time and being with your loved ones. But I never really noticed it as much because the love of the game was so there. And when I started to feel the cons more and notice them more, and it didn't affect, like, I wasn't blinded by it anymore. I was like, ugh, I'm I'm not loving this anymore. It doesn't outweigh anymore. The pros don't outweigh the cons anymore. The cons to me, or I might be saying that backwards. The things about the game that were tough were no longer things that I couldn't recognize anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't able to recognize them, but now I started to notice how much I was and how much I was missing you and how much I was ready to start family and how much money I was not making. And I didn't notice those things when I loved the game.
And I think too, like,
so that was kind of what I knew.
And this is kind of flows into my reason. How I knew it was time to retire was I just saw other things on the horizon. Like, I guess I had never anticipated playing pro softball. That wasn't something that was on my radar ever. I didn't think that I was going to get drafted because only like 20 people get drafted every year.
Yeah.
And the NPF was kind of fading out. And when I got drafted, we were at our A&M award banquet.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole team saw before I saw. And I remember looking behind me because they were sitting behind me. I was sitting in a different row because I got nominated for this award. I didn't win it.
Nice.
And I was shocked. I was like, oh my gosh, why? I didn't draft it. And I didn't really want to play it. My senior year was probably the toughest year of softball ever for me. And I didn't want to. And I talked to my grandpa and I was like, yeah, I might just take a year off. Just to like rest. I needed surgery on my knee. I knew that for sure. And my grandpa said, you know, if you don't play now, you're not going to go back.
Yeah.
And I took that seriously because he could have played pro sports at a college.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't. And he never went back. And so I did it for that summer. And the first 2 weeks of training camp, I probably called you crying every day.
Yeah, it was weird.
You're
like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah. Right. And like, I was around really cool people. I made really awesome, solid relationships. We were going to play in some really cool tournaments that year, get really great exposure. And so that summer, I kind of convinced myself to play for the girls that would play after me. Because I was like, softball's kind of in limbo right now. And if everybody quits right now, it's not going to be a thing anymore.
Right.
And so I kind of did that for like 3 years. But then once we got the facility lease, like once we signed that lease.
Yeah.
And once that was like really coming to fruition for me. And then obviously starting a family and stuff. There are girls who do have kids and do continue playing. And that's, I mean, so admirable.
Yeah.
But that's just not really something that I wanted to do.
Right.
And I think that after the facility, after kids, my vision for what I wanted my life to look like just kind of shifted. And softball just wasn't a part of that anymore.
Yeah. That's the same for me too. Because like, I think back to what I said about all those things about the pros and the cons and outweighing it and starting to feel like I didn't love it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I think I honestly would have pushed through the lack of the love for the game to continue chasing the dream because I just had worked my whole life for it. And I was like, who knows? I could be 1 year away.
Yeah.
I could be one season away.
You never
know. And you truly don't know. And I would have definitely pushed through all those things, I think, and kept trying to chase that dream had I not seen the grass being greener.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I mean, we've got a full-blown facility, our own business, ready to rock and roll. I've got a wife who loves me, who's at home, ready to start a family. And I was like, what? And that's where I started to realize that I didn't love it anymore because I didn't really think about those things as much because I was always so encapsulated by the game and my love for the game that those things to me were always, and it sounds bad, but like always a little bit of an afterthought where it was like, you know, I'll get to that. I have my whole life to start a family.
Yeah.
But when I pulled into that Sioux Falls locker room with those things on my mind, I was like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
You know, I could be doing my business with my wife, starting my family, and I'm here in Sioux Falls making $1,200 a month.
Yeah.
Playing indie ball, which probably is not going to get me back into affiliate ball anytime soon just because the structure of things and the timing and all that, like it just, the writing was on the wall but I had lost the love.
Yeah.
You know,
I think too, and there's going to be some people that listen to this and disagree with our reasons, especially for you, just because the financial payout for you, if you do make it to the bigs, is so much more significant than for us in softball.
Yeah.
But I think, as if you take it from a Christian perspective, like, at some point, you have to ask yourself, like, what is God's purpose for me here?
Yeah.
And I felt like the calling to be a mother, the calling to, I don't know, I feel like we we do a good job, you know, being in these kids, the kids we work with in our facility. I feel like we do a pretty good job of being involved in their life and like being a positive influence for them, hopefully. And we work really hard to do that.
Yeah.
And I felt like that the call to do those things from a biblical perspective was greater.
For sure.
Than the call to continue playing, even though God had called me to play professionally for a certain period of my life.
Yeah,
you know what
God
I mean?
Had used us in the game for quite a bit. And I think that that's, definitely something I agree with, where it's like, his will was done with me in the game of baseball.
Yeah.
Not done as in completed, but like, he used me the way that I think that I was supposed to be used in the baseball world. Especially pro baseball, it's a very dark place.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can't say that I was always the best, you know, mentoring others and sharing the gospel to others, because I had my own problems. You know, I had to get recentered with Christ myself. Mm-hmm. And I think he used the game, especially pro baseball, to do that for me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was another factor that played into it. It's just, I feel like God was pulling me elsewhere. You know, his will was done. And I was done with baseball and what he wanted me to do through that game, the people I met, the relationships I made, how I hopefully got to spread his news or the gospel. It just seemed like it was time for that next chapter. And that just started to feel really obvious. And like I said, in the past, I would have fought for it, but it was like, I'll never forget that moment. I walked in that locker room. It just came over me. I was like, what am I doing? This is not where God wants me right now. And I was okay with it. I don't know, do you think I struggled through retirement? Like that first, I feel like I was like weirdly okay with everything.
Yeah, I mean, we were busy with the facility.
We were, but like I was weirdly
very busy.
Like I truly thought when the new season,
kind of.
Yeah, I thought when the new season rolled around, I would like really be hurting me, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I wish I was at spring training. And
it's almost like
a relief. I didn't feel any of that. And I was like, okay, I guess I made the right decision. Like I was all in elsewhere, and I was good. I was happy. So, still am. So, yeah. No, I think it's all interesting stuff, but these are good questions. This is definitely helpful.
Yeah, we have some more. We'll do a part two at some point.
Oh, we do have more?
Yeah.
How many more?
Several.
Let's do this.
Not enough to get...
Let's do this. Have you ever seen, what's that show on ESPN? I forget the name of it. The Rundown? No. No, not the Rundown. Anyways, they put like a minute and they like talk about like 10 topics. This show's been on ESPN forever.
I've seen it. I know what you're talking about.
Let's do that. How many questions we got?
Next episode.
Come on.
No, I'm cutting it. It's going to be like an hour long episode.
No, we're only at 37 minutes. Okay.
The next questions, they would take a long time.
Okay.
They're not just like cutesy little questions.
All right, well, we'll do a part two. This was Q&A part one. But thanks for tuning in, and we will do part two the following week after this comes out. It's a retired podcast. We'll see you on the next one.
Peace.
Bye.